ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8. Text number is... what? 15? Text number 15. Samudraha Pita Kausheya Samudra Pita Kausheya Samudra Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samupaharat Samupaharat Vasasi Samupaharat Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Madhuna Matta Shatpadam Madhuna Matta Shatpadam Madhuna Matta Shatpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samupaharat Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Madhuna Matta Shatpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samupaharat Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Madhuna Matta Shatpadam. Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samupaharat Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Madhuna Matta Shatpadam. Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samapaharat Vanuna Srajam Vaijayantim Vatuna Matta Shatpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Madhuna Vaishnavis Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samapaharat Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Madhuna Matta Shatpadam. Uno mas. Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samupaharas Varuna Srajam Vaijayantim Madhuna Matasatvadam. Anyone else? Samudra, the ocean, Pita Kaushaya, yellow silk, Vasasi, both the upper and lower portions of a garment. Samupaharat, presented. Varunaha, the predominating deity of the water. Srajam, garland. Vaijayanting, the most decorated and the biggest. Madhuna, with honey. Matta, drunken. Shatpadam, bumblebees who have six legs. Translation. The ocean, which is the source of all valuable jewels, supplied the upper and lower portions of a yellow silken garment. The predominating deity of the water, Varuna, presented flower garlands surrounded by six-legged bumblebees, drunken with honey. Please repeat. The ocean, which is the source of all valuable jewels, supplied the upper and lower portions of a yellow silken garment. The predominating deity of the water, Varuna, presented flower garlands surrounded by six-legged bumblebees, drunken with honey. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When bathing the deity in the Abhishek ceremony with various liquids, such as milk, honey, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine, it is customary to supply yellow garments. In this way, the Abhishek ceremony for the Goddess of Fortune was performed according to the regular Vedic principles. Om Agnanatimenandasya Agnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovhishtam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. Everyone. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Nanostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo Samudra Pita Kausheya Vasasi Samupaharat Varuna srajam vajjayantim madhuna matashatpadam. Here we are in the Agasura, sounds like. Doesn't it? Here we are in the day after performing a sacrifice, a yajna. And although physically devotees may be tired and there may be no air in this room, could we have more air? Sure, it's a garbage truck. Okay. So one feels satisfied after a yajna, even though maybe physically tired, because this is the only way to actually satisfy the soul, is to perform service, sacrifice for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that jagnartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandana tadartam karma konteya mukta sangha samachara. In the beginning of creation, this was the arrangement that although you're going to live within the material energy, if you follow the system of sacrifice that is prescribed, then all necessities will be provided naturally for you. And you can live a healthy, balanced life and then go back home, back to Godhead. So in this verse, there's a description ongoing of the sacrifice performed by the demigods to churn the milk ocean. What was it they were after? Immortal nectar? Because there's a way in which if you have immortal nectar, then you can, what? Enjoy more in the material world. They sell at Ayurvedic shops, South India, at least they used to, Amrita Sanjeevani, some kind of tincture that you can take. I tried it to see, perhaps, as it's mentioned in the Shastra, that you can take this tincture and then you can live forever. That was Maya Danava had created something like that for the demons when they were fighting against the demigods. And every time one of the demons would die, he'd put him in the nectar and he'd come alive again. So they had very much of an advantage over the demons, over the demigods. But unfortunately, it didn't work. And ultimately, any kind of sacrifice which doesn't come to the stage of satisfying the Supreme Personality of God through pure devotional service, haitukiya pratiyata, that is unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the Lord, does not satisfy one, although it may give one some material facility in this world. There's the appearance of Sri Lakshmiji in this series of verses that we're hearing from now from the ocean of milk. They're churning and out comes the various objects. First came the poison, which last time I was here I mentioned is the results that comes out from many projects when they first start. And one has to somehow survive that. And then come many other bounties out of the ocean. So Lakshmiji is now appearing out of the ocean. And everyone wants Lakshmi in this material world. Everyone's looking for some opulence or some kind of guarantee of safety. And throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, our faith in these ideas that I can find some kind of satisfaction or safety, we're dissuaded from that. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna dissuades us from that. After describing Trai Vidyamam Somapa Putapapa, that there's a way in which people can perform sacrifice in this world. They can go to the heavenly planets with a lot of punya. And then when they use it up, they have to come back, they fall back down again. Much like any kind of frequent flyer program where you get miles and you become a big shot and get upgraded. And then after some time, if you don't do it enough or you use up your miles, you're pushed back down into the lowly coach section of the plane, where you're given some tap water and some old orange juice, and you don't get to walk across the plastic red carpet when you get on the plane and things like that. So in the material world also, there's a way in which people can elevate themselves to higher planetary systems. But then again, Shinye Punya Marta Lokam Vishanti, Evam Trai Dharmam Anuprapana Gata Gata Kama Kama Labante. They fall back down again into this material world. The endless cycle, then Krishna says, Ananyas Chinte Antomam Yejana Pariupasate Tesham Nityab Yuktanam Yogik Shemam Bahamyaham. Don't worry about protecting yourself in this material world. Just depend upon me. Ananyas Chinte Antomam. Feel free to absorb your entire consciousness in me. Take shelter in me. This is real faith. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Surida Nishchoy Krishne Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Faith means I have trust that the more I absorb my consciousness in serving Krishna and thinking of Krishna, then everything else is done. I don't have to do anything extra. I have to work hard for so many other things, but if everything's directed towards Krishna and his service and thinking of him, ananyashtintayantamam, then sarva karma kritahoy, everything's performed perfectly. And we should have a clue to how thinking of Krishna is so productive for the soul, because Krishna is completely self-sufficient. And he doesn't even need the goddess of fortune. As mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam later in the 11th canto, Chakva sadusyaja sarepsicha raja lakshmin dharmishta aryavachasa yadagar aranyam. In a verse describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said that he gave up what everyone else wants in the material world, the goddess of fortune. Chakva sadusyaja sarepsicha raja lakshmin. What all the devas, as we see in this pastime, are after. They want the immortal nectar. They want the goddess of fortune. But they, Nimai Pandit, who was the hero of Navadvip, the greatest scholar who had defeated the Digvijay Pandit, everyone loved him. He had the mother of the universe as his mother. Everyone worshipped him. And then to save the conditioned souls, he simply walked away from it all and cut off his hair, which was a big deal. And then, Tyaktva sudusyaja surepshita raja lakshmin dharmishta aryavachasa yadagararanyam. Anyway, you could go on in that verse, but the point is that Krishna, and here specifically Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is not even attached to the goddess of fortune. But as we'll see in this pastime, she's very much attached to him, because she looked at everybody else when she came out, examined everything, everyone, and then decided only Vishnu can be my consort, because I can only be with him. He's the only perfect one. So the great sages have decided and analyzed this clearly, that only by thinking of Krishna, only by worshipping Krishna, can one attain perfection in life. Bejare munayo tagre bhagavantam adhoksajam sattvam vishudham shemaya kalpante yenutaniha. It says in Divinity in the Divine Service that previously all the great sages worshipped Lord Vishnu because of his being beyond all material qualities, and therefore they attain the highest benefit in life. Those who follow in their footsteps of these sages and worship Lord Vishnu are eligible for the same result, that they'll attain perfection. Also interesting in this verse is the specific mention of article of clothing, which is yellow cloth. Prabhupada makes a note of this, that the deity is bathed with a certain kinds of substances like milk and honey and yogurt and ghee, and customary to supply yellow garments. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that this is the regular Vedic process, or these are regular Vedic principles. So these have been going, this system has been going on since the beginning of time. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam second canto the Purusha Sukta confirmed. And what is the Purusha Sukta? When do we hear about the Purush Sukta being used? Yeah. When Lord Brahma goes to the ocean of milk, because there's trouble in the universe, too many demons, right? So Bhumi comes with tears in her eyes and says, please help. And Brahma goes with all the other demigods to the shore of the milk ocean, and he recites the Purusha Sukta. And this Purusha Sukta is from the Rig Veda. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksa Sahasrapat Sabhuming Vishvatovritvat Atyatishtat Dushangulam. It's describing the Supreme Purusha, who has thousands of heads, thousands of eyes, thousands of legs. He's all-pervading. And also Dushangulam, he's ten fingers above everyone else. Dushangulam means he's anything you can imagine, he's 10 fingers above that. Dushangulam. And then it goes on to describe this Purushukta is very interesting. We talk about Purushukta, how the Purushukta is being offered as a propitiation of the Lord, so he'll help them, help Brahma and the demigods and so forth. And what is the prayer? Purusha evedam gung sarvam yat bhutam yachtibhavyam itam ritat vishishanaha yaraninnati rohati. It goes on one verse after another describing how at the beginning of creation there was only the one thing, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he expanded himself, and then the demigods, they wanted to perform sacrifice because that's the order that comes at the beginning of the universe. Even Brahma got this order. He heard tapa. And in Brahma Samhita describe uvacha puratastasmai tasya divya sarasuti kama krishna yagovinda he gopi jana ityapi balabaya priyavanir mantram te dasati priyam. That Saraswati, divine Saraswati, appeared before Brahma and said, do sacrifice, because tapastam tapa etena tava siddhir bhavishyati. The more you perform tapasya, the more you'll become perfect. So the demigods have this edict from the very beginning of the creation. And what are they going to use for the sacrifice? Because there's nothing else but the Purusha. So they begin to take the Purusha as the source of all the elements of sacrifice to offer in the fire. Tadyagnam barishi broksham purusham jatam agrata tena deva janta sadya rishayas chaye. Described how they take the Supreme Purusha as the sacrificial animal, and they're sprinkling with the kusha water with the kusha grass, and then from the different limbs of his body, which, as we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are the various facets of this universe. For instance, please. The sun and moon are eyes, trees are mountains, are stacks of bone. Rivers are the veins, birds are the artistic sense of the Lord. Ocean is his stomach. Trees are his hair. Virat Purusha. So they offer the sacrifice using the body of the Lord. In other words, all there is the Supreme Personality of God. So now they're offering back as a sacrifice all the things that are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya pravavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Everything emanates from me, so this includes everything we use in sacrifice as well. So all that's left really is the bhakti that we offer. And in the Gita, Krishna simplifies the process of offering, saying that, telling exactly the part he accepts when he says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhaktyu paritam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. That if it has bhakti when it's offered, and he mentions a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. These are all part of the Virat Purusha, right? You can get a leaf anywhere. You can get fruit, flower, means these are things, anything available you can get in the universe practically, anywhere. And if you offer that with love and devotion, then Krishna will accept that. So that's the most important aspect. However, here it's mentioned that there's a system, a Vedic system for offering. And in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, rather, the verse Shuti Shri Smriti Paranadi Panchachiki Vidinvina Aikantiki Harir Bhaktir Upatayaiva Kalpate, that whatever is done in the service of the Lord must follow the Shuti, the Smriti, Panchachikvidhi, etc. And otherwise it becomes a disturbance. So there is a process, a system for offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're given that in the Panchachikvidhi, which is passed down from great sages like Narada Muni, which give the authorized but abbreviated system of offering yajna on a regular basis so that we can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal form. And yesterday when we were at the Rath Yatra, a lot of people came up to me and asked me, what is this? And I saw one couple who were watching the 6 p.m. Artik. And they were looking at the stage with the devotees chanting and then the audience who were dancing. And then they look up at Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and the pujari was there offering fire and fans and everything. And they seemed rather aghast that there could be a offering going on like this with these different articles. It just looked so foreign to them, I think, that they were a little bit, they were shocked, actually. And speaking about shocked, once when I was in the Denver airport distributing the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because they come out sequentially and then we'd receive them and then we'd just go out and start distributing them. I remember distributing the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the Virat Purusha and all the different anatomical descriptions of the body of the Purusha are mentioned. And I sold the second canto to some cowboy from the Midwest, and he came back about a half an hour later. And he was disturbed because there are very specific mention of all the different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the Virat Purusha. And he wanted his money back. And I was thinking about that afterwards, how averse one may become in the material world to the idea that there is a supreme Purusha that has everything I have, or more, because he is the source of whatever I have. And this Panchachikvidhi, which brings one to the point of bathing the Lord, offering yellow silken garments, very specific items which are mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas and other shastras and the padatis that we have that have been passed down that abbreviate the archana that we do so that we can offer different things to the Lord. It's a very personal thing when you worship the deity because you bring him out at a certain time and everything has to be very clean. And when you worship the Lord, you offer him a seat. And then after offering a seat, then you offer water to wash his feet. And then you offer water, argyam, so he can wash his hands. And then achmaniya, you offer water so he can wash his mouth, a little mouthwash in the morning. And then a tongue scraper. And then a toothbrush, and then another mouthwash, then a little madhuparka, which is like a milkshake to the Lord, and then a little more mouthwash, and then you can massage the body of the Lord with oil, fragrant oil. And then the bathing starts, and the conch is blowing, and then the bathing water. Of course, mentioned here, the Panchagavya, there's different articles if you can get, if you have cows, then you can offer milk and yogurt and ghee and cow urine, cow dung all mixed together to the Lord. Otherwise, as a representative of those things, one can offer water, purified water with some tulsi leaves. And even one can call the holy rivers to come into the, if you can't get to the Ganga right away, you can call Ganga cha, Jamuni chaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhukaravati, Jalismin, Saninim Kuru, call the holy rivers to come into the water. And then ringing the bell, one offers the water, pouring it on the head of the Lord. And then, as Prabhupada describes in the Nectar Devotion, the tulsi leaves that were in the water and the flowers, they glide down the body of the Lord. And sometimes, when bathing the Lord, one of those tulsi leaves will stick in his hand, or it'll stick right on his foot. And it's a very intimate thing, because early in the morning, and everything about Krishna smells good. All the things that we offer him are clean and nice. And so the devotee's mind, sitting there worshiping the Lord, can become completely absorbed in the form of the Lord. And this cannot be imagined, can't be reached by speculation. The furthest reach of the intellect is to come to the point of impersonal Brahman realization. But only by bhakti, being a servant of the servant of the Lord, and receiving the information, as we're hearing here, there's a Vedic process here for us, the Panchatrikhi process. And following that process, one can have a direct experience that, oh, there is a personality of Godhead. He's accepting my service. And then after that, one dries the Lord, offers Brahman's thread, and offers the tilak, and then offers a scented oil for him to smell, and then offers ornaments, and then offers a flower garland, and then after flower garland, he offers him chandan, and then some flower with chandan on it, offered to the Lord, and then tulsi leaves. Of course, no worship is complete without offering tulsi. And then one has to meditate on tulsi. One does meditate on tulsi, how tulsi is dear to the Lord. And all this is beyond the intellect. A direct experience, a communion through this process of Panchatrikhi Vidhi. And then after that, one can offer some incense and a lamp, and then naivedyam, some tasty thing for the Lord to eat. And then one can put the Lord back on the altar in his place. And then in this way, throughout the whole day, there's a way in which the devotees can always attend to the form of the Lord throughout the day. And this is necessary because unless we have the form of the Lord to attend to, then we'll attend to our own form. Well, I'll speak for myself. Unless I have the form of the Lord to attend to, then I'll begin thinking of attending to my own form. But, for instance, with shopping, shopping is an unlimited activity if one has a taste for it. But if one, and it can become a great burden, collecting many things, just walking to the shops and hearing the music. They use old Beatle music. It'll stick in your head. And then if you shop for the Lord, on the other hand, you go around and you can buy, you look everywhere. Banabhata, everywhere he walks, every neighborhood, I notice he's looking to how where to steal more flowers for his Shalagram Shila. So he has his has his radar out. But he's always thinking of Krishna because of the deity. And also, if you go shopping, for instance, in Vrindavan, you can go to these jewelers like in Lohi Bazaar. And near Lohi Bazaar, there's Sriji's, a little shop, hole in the wall. But you can, it's the only practically place in the world where you can go in and say, I need a little flute about this big. If you went in New York City or anywhere else, you know, said, I want a little pair of pants about that big. What's wrong with you? What are you talking about? But if you go to Lohi Bazaar in Vrindavan, everyone says, yes, of course, you know, and they all know it's for Krishna. There's this inside, it's like a hidden secret. Actually, it's Krishna says, Guhyamakyati Prichati. This is the most secret of all secrets, but it's an open secret. It's right there in the Bhagavad Gita who Krishna is, but nobody really wants to know. But the devotees, they take this remedial process of yajna, and included in it means following this process of worshipping the Lord in a very specific way. So our acharyas have said, along with the Bhagavat Marg, which means chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, preaching to others, then we also follow the Panchratrikhi Vidhi. And we have to stick to both these things so we can move forward on two tracks. The train moves on two tracks. So one remains purified enough by worshipping the deity. And that means even if you're not performing the full deity worship every day and participating as a pujari, even coming into the temple, ringing the bell, offering obeisances, and taking charanamrita, and dancing before the deities, honoring the flower, prasadam, and all the things that the devotees do here and in all the other temples around ISKCON, this is also considered deity worship. In other words, your day is centered around the worship of Krishna. Your timing goes around Krishna. Like here, I was staying in this apartment right across the street, and it was a really nice experience because you can hear all the programs going on inside the temple. And if the doors open, you can hear the kirtan really clearly too. And the evening artiks here, the 8 o'clock artik, it's a rousing kirtan and a wonderful way to end the day. And then, of course, Mangal artik is like no other experience that people have when they wake up normally in the material world and they turn on CNN and the 24-hour news cycle comes to haunt them again, that the problems have multiplied since yesterday. And then the anxiety starts. But for the devotees, they remain absorbed in the 24-hour Panchratrikhi cycle instead of the news cycle. And they feel this ever-fresh experience of worshiping the Lord. And then they feel excited to go out and share it with others and give others the opportunity who don't know about it. So let's just have a few reflections about the Rath Yatra from yesterday. I'd like to hear some of the highlights that you would note from yesterday's experience from the yajna that we performed. Rameshwar Prabhu, here comes the mic really fast.
So I met this young lady who was leaving the festival, and we were both walking to the bus to go back down Venice Boulevard. So she saw I was in the dress of a Vaishnava, and she immediately started glorifying the festival, how fortunate she felt that she had just happened to be there. And I said, oh, that's very nice that you appreciated it. Are you interested in yoga or spiritual life? And she said, yes, actually, they gave me this orange book, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And I said, oh, perhaps you've thought once or more in your lifetime about whether reincarnation is possible. And she said, you know, I'm so glad you're talking to me about that, because I'm very confused about this. So I told her that, well, do you think that a person could make a mistake and be sentenced forever to hellish pain and suffering? She said, that is exactly what I'm thinking, that could not be. And so we started talking about Bhagavad Gita, and she's planning to come to the temple. And these are the kind of souls that Krishna plucked from around this area to send to our festival, to hear from devotees, to receive Prabhupada's mercy in the form of his books and prasadam. She's holding her invitation to come to Govinda's. So
nice.
That was a nice experience for me.
I noticed yesterday that because there was another advocacy there holding up signs and mentioning a few times about their beliefs, that people then had a choice. And one thing is that these two young men, about 30 years old, came up to me. I was talking to other devotees, and they tapped me on the back. They said, excuse me. I said, we just want you to know that we don't believe in them. We don't like what they're doing. We're not with them. All of us, we don't all agree with, you know, our people don't agree. They just wanted us to know, to reassure us. The rest of the population wasn't really with them and so forth. And we find in Palo Alto when we do the Harinam, sometimes the same type of group comes out to make their point. And oftentimes people come up and they go, are you with them? We say, no, because we're right next to them chanting and showing books. And they go, okay, we'll take whatever you have. Because we hate them and we like whoever's not them. Rameshwar.
I just mentioned one other thing. As I was waiting at the question, not the question, the information booth, Vatsal came over to me and said, I've been watching the people you're talking about. And he said, just watch. Every minute, one of them will yell out Krishna. Every minute. And I was watching with him. And sure enough, they kept yelling out the holy name of Hare Krishna as they were yelling and screaming. And so they have this ghastly rasa with God. But they can't help themselves. They're calling out Krishna's name. So even such crazy persons get so benefited by the mercy of Lord Jagannath and his Rath Yatra festival.
Jayaname deha muni vrindigeya he janaranjanaya paramakshara krite tomanara rada pi managudiritam nikilogra tapa patalim valumpasi. Rupa Goswami says that this holy name, Jayaname deha muni vrindigeya te, it is a festival for all the residents of Vrindavan. And then he says, Tomanad arad api manag udiritam. That even if someone says the holy name, even out of derision, and they do it only one time, nikila ugratapa. Nikila means all, ugra means horrible, and tapa means suffering in the material world. Nikilogra ugratapa patalim valumpasi. That for those persons who even say it one time derisively, that they will be cured of all the horrible suffering in the material world. Hari Hari Bo. Archie to Purdue. Let's get on the mic fast. What is it? Prepare to meet thy God. No, they have a lot of good things to offer. Actually, it's just the delivery needs a little work.
Thank you for a very wonderful presentation, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Just a small note. I spent a couple of hours, you know, giving the blessings from underneath the cart where the three deities were located at the end. And
oh, no. I'll have to repeat because there's people watching online. A lot of the people that come for blessings on the Jagannath cart are some of the roughest looking people. People that normally you would cross the street to avoid them. But they come and they bow down and they say Hari Bol. Makes you realize how powerful and how far wide the holy name of Krishna is. There's a story about that in Santa Cruz, California. Often we set up a book booth, and that town is, we call the home of the homeless vegan. I named it that because one day when we were there doing book distribution and offering prasadam, we had cookies and I was offering them to many people going by. It. One of the homeless contingency came by with his shopping cart and I offered him a cookie and he said, no thanks, I'm a vegan. So we called it the home of the homeless vegan. Anyway, so the point is we have this book table and we use a rack, a book rack, like a professional rack, so people can see the books from a long distance away. And I used the word yesterday, but I'll use it again, a bedraggled person came up, a young man who also looked sort of homeless, downtrodden, you know, not bathed and everything. And he was just staring at the books. And I said, yes, how are you? How can we help? And he just said, I know something about this. I said, really? What do you know? And so he stood up even straighter and he said, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadyasa Yatonvayad Itaratash Chartesva Bigna Surad Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Huyanti Yat Surayaha. He went on and he recited the whole first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I said, how'd you do that? And he just turned around and walked away. Like dazed and half crazy. And I was thinking at this point that you're making, Archie, how far is the Prabhupada's reach is? His campaign to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, it's reaching people in all the different spheres of life. It's filtering in the literature that's getting distributed, the holy names that are chanting, the cultural festivals. They weave themselves into they penetrate the collective minds of people all over the world and actually get into their hearts, as we discussed a couple of days ago. It's permanent. You can't get it out once it's in. There's mention that the sap of the mango tree, once you get it in your hair, you can't get it out. There's a verse about that, like about Krishna. Once you start thinking of him, you can't stop. So it's like the sap of a mango tree. Yes.
Yeah, the mic is back. I changed batteries. But maybe it's the same guy. I was in the book booth also for some time, and I was, you know, tending to some people at the front level, but I was keeping an eye on some bedraggled guy in the back. He was going through all the books, looking. So finally picked up one book, and I went over to him, and he said, I heard that these books are free. And I said, no, those are the ones in the packet. These you have to pay for. So he said, okay. He went in his pocket and came out with $12. I gave it to Shastakrit. $12 he came out with. He said, is this enough? I said, okay, sure. So same thing. Bedraggled-looking guy. You never think he'd be interested in the books at all. But not only was he interested, he had $12 to pay for one book.
That's nice. We were realizing yesterday, because we're used to asking for donation when we get the books, that giving out the free books, it doesn't have this. You don't get the exact same satisfaction. Because there's a way, there's closure with someone when you ask them at the end, so what about it? You want to surrender or what? And you know, then there's that squirming and the little dance that goes around, and that's the best part. Because then it's like the moment of truth. It's like everything I said, we're all friends and everything, until I say, you know, hey, how about a donation? It's like, oh, okay, you know, so many different reactions. But that yajna that they have to perform at the end, I mean, they don't have to, but we like to at least expose them to the possibility to watch and see what happens. But when they do give, then there's this skyrockets go off in the spiritual world for them. Can we have a few more? Yes, Jai Vaita Maharaj.
Because you were talking about Prabhupada's campaign reaching all sorts of people. So I was watching the book table, and there was a young Muslim woman there, I think maybe Iranian, standing there with one of those new books published by Satyanarayan Prabhu. It looked like it was Farsi, and she had the book, and she was big smile on her face and talking with the devotees. You could see that it was successful.
Yeah. Okay, quick point, then over to Nisringananda.
Just to follow up on what you were saying about the donations, there's an in-between stage when we're giving out the free books, and there are people on the second floors of their apartments that have little balconies, and we can't go up to them, but they're taking it upon themselves to beg, please give me one, and we're tossing them up to them. So that's as close as we can get on the free book distribution to having them begging for it.
The thing is this, you know, in the Gita, Krishna says, don't preach to those who are not austere or devoted. So oftentimes people say, so what are we doing? And so we try to create some austerity or some devotion, and then we inject. It's the point where it's completely cold and there's no appreciation. And then if you give, then it's all an insult to the literature, actually. Because they, you know, for the devotee, the experience of giving to somebody who doesn't want it and won't take it or something like that. So I just want to clarify that I'm not against the free books, but in the parade, there's a way that, as I was saying in the morning time yesterday, the curtain opens because their appreciation is the grandeur of Lord Jagannath coming down the street and the chanting. It's so otherworldly that they can't help but open up. And at that point, taking the books, they're given the appreciation. And so just one point is that all we really have as living entities to give to Krishna is our attention, to put it in very clinical terms. But it's helpful because we don't have anything, as evidenced by the Purushukta confirmed. Even the demigods, like, what do we offer? It's all Krishna. So all we really have as little individual units of consciousness is our own attention. And if someone pays attention, that is, even for a second, this is a kind of offering to Krishna. Nisringananda Prabhu. Keep going, I'll repeat it. Just as a foreword to what Ramachar Prabhu had said about the book.
Satyanarayan Prabhu had come over to me in my booth and said, I'm so excited. What's up? He said, well, you know, I printed these books in Arabic and Farsi, and for the first time for me, I got a chance to distribute one today. He said, because I was offering the English book, and she asked me, do I have anything in Arabic?
Wow.
So for him, the Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath, offered this opportunity to actually, as a BBT trustee, providing those books, he got a chance to actually distribute one for himself to a person who is using that language. So it works both ways, for the conditioned soul and for the devotee.
Nice. Thank you.
And all in doing that, all the wonderful service that Ryan has been doing, those books are valid.
And all the hard work that Satyanarayan Prabhu has been doing to print those books was validated with that. How do you vote? Go ahead.
Yeah, also I had some good experiences with those books also. Actually, before the Rath Yatra, I met someone at Govinda's. And, he was just an Indian man. I was talking to him for a little while. And, after some time, I just kind of casually asked him, oh, so what do you do? And apparently, I don't want to go into so much detail, but he was actually traveling with the royal family of Saudi Arabia. And he was here for the Rath Yatra. And so I told him about the Arabic books. And he said he distributes them to some of his colleagues. And I recommended that he read the Chaitanya Charitamrita so he could hear about the Goswamis and their kind of experience. I told him briefly about the incident with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, the civil
discipline. This is a really nice point about the power of these books. One thing I was thinking, I was talking to the devotees in China recently because they're working on distributing more of their books. And then there are countries all over the world where it's very difficult to actually go out and, as I was saying yesterday morning, distribute without getting put in jail. And one staging point for the book distribution is America, because it's a free forum and it's also got all the people of the world. So if we actually just proliferate these books throughout America, they will end up finding their way back. And one book can actually bring down a whole demoniac civilization. That's the power of just one book. So it's inestimable, the power of this distribution of these foreign books and meeting people like that. And this also validates the Rath Yatra. We wonder, like, what is the actual result? And we can't even see it. It's almost like churning the milk ocean. And then these various, wonderful offerings come out of the ocean. Satchitanoy, last point.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was observing all the other different aspects, like, for example, such a beautiful festival. Devotees dancing, everybody's happy. But because due to choice, we see some conditioned souls very unfortunate. Sometimes, no matter what you do or what you present, due to either envy or whatever, they just avoid immediately. And what unfortunate. The previous day, we have a Harinam, and we were dancing and chanting, everybody's happy. And Prabhupada's picture is there. And one man came and said, who is that? Why do you have it in there? I said, why not? He said, well, I said, yes, why not? Tell me why not. And then I said, if you will have a picture in your home or your father or your mother that you love, if I say, why is that picture doing there? But I can, I was detecting the, you know, that kind of, how do you say, aversion to the Lord is so deep in some people, but in due to ignorance. And it's unfortunate because sometimes you cannot reach them. You wish you could give them an explanation, but they don't open the doors. And I was just seeing that how Krishna is so wonderful that gives us that choice. And for those who choose to do be away from him, even if we try to help him, it's very hard. Like I met one man who lives in London, met him at the airport, was trying to give him a book. He said, no, don't give me anything. Said, in London, every time I worked there in Oxford Street, every day they tried to give me a book. I'm an atheist. But after so many times, eventually, he said, you know what? Don't give me anything, but I like you guys. You know why? You have a strong determination, and that's what I admire of you. He was admiring the devotees. And he says, every time they try to give me, I tell them I'm an atheist, I don't want it, but they still try to be nice to me. So that's one aspect, how to remain cool-handed and Krishna conscious to maybe eventually those souls can change their view. And that's a big task,
a
big challenge.
Thank you, Satchidanoy. Well done. Hare Krishna. I think we need to end because the Mahaprasadam is going outside. Just to say that well done on the yajna, everyone working together, and we just take one day at a time to perform these yajnas. We'll be 5 years older in 5 years anyway, so best to find a way to continually perform this yajna to the Supreme Personality of God and use up this entire lifetime in that way, and go back to Godhead. Om Tat Sat. Go Premanande Haribo. Vancha Kalpatirvasha Kripa Sundami.